Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 23 chapter, 38 verse onwards. Hare Krishna Keshavananda Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning. We are very, very fortunate to have you on the call, Prabhu. Please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna. I just wanted to ask, is my voice clear to you?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, fine. Okay, so I'll just start without wasting time. Let's read 4th Canto, 23rd chapter and 38th verse. Now, this verse says... first let me offer an invocation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is 4:23:38. Vaichitra Viraya Abhihitam Mahan Mahatmaya Suchakam Asmin Kritam Atimartayam Parthavim Gatim Apnoyat. A translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitri continued, My dear Vidur, I have as far as possible spoken narrations about Prithu Maharaj, which enrich one's devotional attitude. Whoever takes advantage of these benefits also goes back home, back to Godhead like Prithu Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada writes, the word Shravayat mentioned in previous verse indicates one should not only read for himself, but also induce others to read and hear. That is called preaching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends this practice. Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna Upadesh CC Madhye 7.128. Whomever you meet, simply talk with him about the instructions given by Krishna or tell him the relation narrations about Krishna. Prithu Maharaj's history of devotional service is as potent as narrations about activities of Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not make distinctions between pastimes of the Lord and the activities of Prithu Maharaj. Whenever it is possible, a devotee should attempt to induce others to hear about Prithu Maharaj. One should not only read of his pastimes for one's own benefit, but should induce others to read and hear about them. Also, in this way, everyone can be benefited. Okay, so I'll just begin on this. Anamam Vishnu Padai Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurvani Prachadni Visheshunyavadi Paschadishta. Om Gyana Dimandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshun Litam Lena Tasmai Shri Gurvena Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so, well, this we are talking about Prithu Maharaj. And as I had already mentioned, Prithu Maharaj, he was one of the great kings mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and also in other scriptures, who was a king and simultaneously he was a great devotee. And of course we know he was a partial expansion of Vishnu, and that's why he did many amazing pastimes which were surprising even to demigods. But the whole point was, there were other kings also like Lord Ram, and then Ambarish Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, he was a king, Prahlad, he was a king. This Bhagavatam is about kings. Actually, one thing to note is, by the way, a side note here, that Srimad, if you read other Puranas, I mean to say other scriptures, and Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a difference, and there's a lot of difference, but one of the differences is that the examples mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam are very different to the examples mentioned in other scriptures, especially other Puranas. Many Puranas, they gave examples of yogis and jnanis and vairagis who were renunciate and who did tapas, and rishis who did tapasya for so many years together and then they achieved success. But Bhagavatam has given many examples of kings. In fact, the verse Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo, that apply your mind in service of Krishna, your hands cleaning the temple, your legs going to the temple. In fact, that verse, that verse is mentioned in the context of Ambarish Maharaj. He was a king. I mean to say, even a lady in a village, she does that. She uses hands to clean the temple. There is a tradition, like daily, if you go to South India, daily ladies go and they clean the temple and they go, they sing the bhajans, they apply their mind. That is devotion, of course that's devotion. But the whole point is, Bhagavatam is talking about pure devotion. It is devotion par excellence. And this verse is quoted in Ambarish Maharaj, context of Ambarish Maharaj. He was a king, and king to do such things is very difficult. In fact, to find time to clean the temple, to go to the temple, to apply his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna, that's very difficult. Kulashekhar, he was a king, by the way. So why Sukadeva Goswami gives all these examples of kings, although he was himself a renunciate. He was so renounced that he even didn't wear clothes, but he's giving example of kings. Why? Because he wants to show that devotion is... Actually, he wants to show two points through Bhagavatam. One is that devotion doesn't depend on any external condition. Devotion is all about your attitude towards God. And what do we mean by attitude here? So it's going to be explained in this verse and the next verse, which I'm going to talk about soon. That devotion, he's telling devotion is all about niswartha, about not being selfish. That concept, which is the central concept of Bhagavad Gita, nishkam karm, that to work, Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, in nishkam karma, I think in second chapter, 39th or 40th verse, the purport, first line, Prabhupada writes that nishkam karma is to work for the benefit of Krishna without any propensity of sense gratification. Now that's what is a secret and trick and buddhi yoga. That's a technique of spirituality. There are many people who think spirituality is all about yoga, jnana, and dhyana. But spirituality is all about this small technique to learn. Work for the benefit of God and not your benefit. That is nishkam karm. Nishkam means without any motive of personal benefit. But that practice has to be done. Because by that practice, in second chapter, 39, 40th verse to 53rd verse, and 53rd to 72. That's a theme happening, 3rd, 4th, 5th, Bhagavad Gita. That's the point which Krishna is pressing again and again. Try to not be selfish, because selfishness is a base of sense gratification. Once we are selfish, automatically we'll fall into sense gratification. The next step of selfishness is sense gratification. Once you want something for yourself, that thought, the next step is you get an urge, a vasana, to enjoy that. So that's why Krishna is harping on this point. And to get rid of selfishness, Krishna says, you don't have to leave anything, or you don't have to join anything. You can be a king, like Prithu, Ambarish. You can be super busy in this society. Or you can be free in your mutt. But the whole point is, if you don't learn this small technique, whether you have 24 hours full time, you will achieve nothing. Because that will be false renunciation. On the other hand, if you are busy like a king, but if you are not working for yourself, but you're working for the benefit of God, and of course, Prithu Maharaj was working for the benefit of earth, it is mentioned, if you might have read this chapter, For Prithu Maharaj, the earth was his daughter. He considered earth as daughter. So he protected her. And Prithu Maharaj protected his kingdom. He was working for his kingdom because he saw his kingdom as devotees of God. So he was working for everyone else. He was not working for himself. And that practice of Prithu, actually that practice to do as a king, that's very difficult. I mean, this is somebody leaves everything and goes, and then he says, I'm not selfish. It doesn't make any sense because then even a Sukhdeva Goswami says, even a monkey and a cow and an animal is not selfish. He's just leading his life in a jungle. So, but the whole test is, you are with devotees, you are working, you are doing many services, you're doing so many things, nishkam karm, you're doing some activity, but without any selfish motive. Now that requires a lot of practice. And what is the symptom when you're not selfish? When you're doing something without any selfishness, what is the symptom? The symptom is your mind is not disturbed in any condition. The first symptom, which Krishna talks in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, 40th verse to 53rd verse. And then 53 to 71, he talks, second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he describes symptoms of Sita Pragya. The mind is not disturbed in honor, dishonor, happiness, distress. There might be so many things going around you, but your mind is not disturbed. That's the whole benchmark. If you're free of selfishness, or in other words, if you're free of sense gratification, how do we know that? Because sometimes as devotees we feel we are okay, but then other times our mind flips out. Sometimes we feel we become pure, but then suddenly we become impure. Sometimes we feel our mind is now focused on Krishna, but suddenly it becomes out of focus. Now how do we know that really we have got rid of sense gratification, calm, growth? How do we know that? That we know if we are free of selfishness. But how do we know we are not free of selfishness? Krishna says, Sita Pragya. Krishna speaks of so many symptoms, but the central point is your mind is not disturbed. In all the disturbing conditions, mind is not disturbed. That's the idea. It's not that mind is not disturbed. It's not that you're staying in your home nicely and doing your chanting and reading and everything is going on nicely. But the whole point is, the whole test is when you're in a disturbing situation. Then if your mind is not disturbed, then that's okay. That's one test. And the second test of Sita Pragya, to be free of sense gratification, is you're free of attachments. You can leave anything at any point of time. You can simply leave. Prithu Maharaj, he left everything. You read this chapter, he left everything. Such a great king, he left everything just like stool. Or Bharat Maharaj, he left everything. Rishabh Dev, he left everything. Ambarish. They all left everything. Kulashekhar, just in a click. How could they do that? If they would not have practiced this selflessness, if they would not have practiced this whole life, it would have been impossible for them to leave, because selfishness brings sense gratification brings attachment. And if you're attached, you can't leave anything. So that's why the whole... You see, the whole Vedic tradition is designed on this one thing, to make ourselves nishkam, to make us selfless, because that is the base of real renunciation, the spirit of renunciation. Then we can leave sense gratification. So what is happening in this verse is, Maitri is saying, vichitra virya vihitam. So Maitri is saying, see, I've explained so many things about Prithu. In fact, Prithu Maharaj did austerities. Of course, we hear in this narration, Prithu Maharaj also did like Dhruva. He was eating fruits for some time, then leaves, then water, then he was just breathing, that's all air. He did austerities. He was sitting in summers, in fire and in cold water. He was doing, but then Prabhupada says, that is not possible in this age, first of all. Even in our dreams, we will die if we try to do this. But what to speak in real life. But the whole idea is what kind of austerities we can do in this age when body doesn't allow. We can do this simple austerity. We can always work for the benefit of Krishna without any selfishness. That's what Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita. That's an austerity. First, to work for the benefit of God and not for your own benefit. Selfishness means for own benefit. At every moment, at every point of time, that needs a lot of focus. That is real austerity. And that Prithu did whole life. And that's a vichitra virya vihitam. So he says, Vidur, they say Vidur, Maitreya is saying Vidur, Vidur is son of Vichitra Virya, we all know. Abhihitam, Abhihitam means, I've explained it. Abhihitam is a Sanskrit word, which Abhi means to explain. Abhihitam means to explain. Because the word for dictionary is Abhidhan. Dictionary is called as Abhidhan. Abhidhan means where words are explained. Similarly, Abhihitam. Here the word, the Abhi word is used, the prefix Abhi is mostly used in the sense of explanation, in the sense of expanding. So Abhihitam, I've explained for the benefit of people, for the benefit of mankind, for your benefit, the characteristics of Prithu Maharaj. And what is the central point they have explained about Prithu? Prithu never worked for himself. That's what he did. He was always working for God. And if you read his entire life, he divided continents into seven parts. He was behind planet Earth because people were dying. He was overseeing the benefit of people. He was overseeing benefit of Earth. He was overseeing benefit of demigods. He didn't really work for himself, and he was seen for the benefit of God, so that people become God consciousness in the entire planet. His central purpose was that. That is called Abhihitam. Hitam means benefit. Abhi means I have explained everything for your benefit and for the benefit of mankind. What I have explained about Prithu, the benefit of hearing my pastimes of Prithu is to learn that we have to work for the benefit of God and not for our own benefit. That has to be added. A selfless service in each and every action. Now that's difficult to do. Why? Because first of all, we are addicted to our own self. Second of all, it's very difficult to understand and discern and discriminate whether we are working really for the benefit of God or for the benefit of ourselves, or we are working for both, benefit of God and benefit of ourselves. And that power of discrimination Krishna gives. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama pyanti te tisamskrita tanam bhajatam priti purvakam. If we do chanting of Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says in these purports, you don't need to do austerities, which anyway you can't do, there's no option. Only austerities, satata yukta nam bhajatam. If you serve Krishna, if you chant Hare Krishna, offenselessly, and of course, attentively. And if you serve Krishna with devotion, priti purvakam, then Krishna will give you intelligence. If you're sincere, if you're not a hypocrite, we might have a lot of weaknesses, we might have got a lot of bad habits. We might have got a lot of faults and flaws and drawbacks and a weak heart. That's what we are in Kali Yuga, Shudras. But Krishna says, no problem. If you're sincere, if you're trying your best, then leave the rest to me. I will give you intelligence to discriminate between what kind of intelligence, whether you're working for yourself or whether you're working for me, to be absolutely selfless. That is Vichitra Virya Abhihitam. Hitam, this word hitam is there. Mahan Mahatmaya Suchakam. Now I have explained you I have explained you the glories of Lord Prithu. Mahatmaya means the greatness of Lord Prithu. Suchakam. And that's the greatness. You see the point there? That's his greatness. His greatness is not that he divided earth into seven parts, or that it's seven planes. Or his greatness is not that he took his chariot and went around the sun, or he protected earth. He protected people. He chased the earth away. And he made a lot of... He also made a lot of temples all across the globe. His greatness is... This is, of course, this is great. But his greatness is not just this. His greatness is... You see, the greatness of a person can be understood by external actions, but also by internal attitude. And that what's going inside, that matters more rather than what's happening outside. Of course, outside activities matter, but what goes inside, that's more important. The temple you're making outside, that is important. What is more important is the temple you're making inside your heart. So, that's what Krishna wants to see. Of course, making external activities help to develop an internal attitude. But that's what is important. Without an internal attitude, external activities, if that's not developing internal attitude, what's the use? Eating food will help us to get free of hunger. That's the point. If you're eating food and if your hunger is not going, what's the point of eating food? You can stuff your belly when you can die when your belly will blast off. Because the hunger doesn't go. So that's what we are looking for. So that's Mahan Mahatmaya Suchakam. That's what we are learning from Prithu. Mahan Mahatmaya. That's what, actually, you see the point. That is what is the greatness. That is what is greatness of Krishna. Now Krishna kills so many demons. Is that his greatness? Trinavarth, Utana, Pralambasur, Aghasur, are we so surprised and impressed by this activity of Krishna that he kills demons? Of course not. You're not impressed. There's nothing to be impressed, because only fools get impressed if Krishna is killing demons, because for him killing demons is nothing. It's like, say, killing an ant. If you kill an ant, somebody kills an ant, is that his greatness? When the history book says, oh, this person was so great because he killed an ant, because he killed 10 ants. His name is in history. No. The whole point is, the whole point is not that. So Krishna killing demons is not at all impressive. What is impressive in Krishna killing the demons is not his killing part of demons. What is more impressive is killing demons for his devotees, for the love of his devotees. He's working for the benefit of his devotees. He's under control of his devotees. He's bound, he's obliged to help his devotees out of love. You see the point there. The things going around in Krishna's pastime, his lifting of Govardhan, is it so impressive? No. He's killing Kamsa? No. Externally, these things are happening, but this is not impressive. We have to see what is happening inside. Inside the heart of Krishna and devotees, there's an exchange of love. And that is impressive, because to love God, that's impressive. God loving us, that's really impressive. Why God would love people like us? Why would he? People like us who have no idea of anything. People like us who can't even chant 16 rounds properly. Why would guide us? Why would love us? Why would interact with us? That is impressive because of his quality of causeless mercy. Because of his nature. His nature is to help others. This is nature, that's all. And his nature, and his devotees also get his nature. It is nature to help others. That's why devotees also has this nature. A true devotee has this nature to help the other devotees. And to help others by preaching the message. Prabhupada says here, preach the message in the Prabhupada. Prabhupada says you should preach Prithu's pastimes to everybody. And not just yourself, that is selfishness. That is real selfishness if you just read it for yourself. And that's another point which Prabhupada is bringing. One should not only read his pastimes for one's own benefit, but induce others to read and hear about them also. So if you're reading these pastimes, Bhagavatam, now this is an interesting point Prabhupada raises. If you're reading Bhagavatam and chant just for your own benefit, it's just illusion. Because that's not the point. The point is to benefit others and Krishna. That's what we're looking for, because if you're working for your own benefit, ultimately that selfishness will lead to sense gratification. It'll bring bhogavasana. It'll bring one day or the other, it'll bring kama growth. It'll bring kama, and that'll bring growth, and then we'll be implicated. Even devotional activities, which are full of selfishness, that is also harmful, Srila Prabhupada says. Which is just for one's own benefit. That's also harmful. In the long run, it becomes harmful. You're reading just for your own benefit. It's not good. So, why we are becoming pure? Not for our own benefit. We are becoming pure to benefit God. Because by becoming pure, His name and fame, He will be glorified. His name will be glorified. That His name has so much potency to purify a person. Haridas Thakur had a discussion with Gopal Chawal. And Gopal Chawal said that, just by chanting, how can you become pure? It's ridiculous. You need to do tapasya and jnana and all this. Just by simply chanting Hare Krishna, how can you become pure? It's ridiculous. Anyway, Gopal Chawal got leprosy of his nose. So Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur glorified God by his chanting, glorified the name of God by his chanting. You see, it was not his personal agenda to chant this many rounds and just for his own benefit. No. He was establishing an ideal. He was showing how much potency holy name has by keeping himself pure and chanting offenselessly. And that's why we are becoming pure, so that Krishna is glorified. His holy name is glorified. Yes, holy name works. People will know, yes, it works. You see, this person has become purified. Why? Because he was chanting holy names. Yes, what will people say? Holy name has power. Okay, fine, it has. There's more power than other processes. So who is getting glorified? Holy names. So that's the whole point there. So that's why Prabhupada says one should not just read for one's own benefit. One should induce others to read and hear about Prithus and give the real message, not change the message. I mean to say people can read and hear and induce others to hear, but then they change the message. That's not a good idea. You don't need to change the message. Whether people want to hear or don't want to hear, that's not the point. The point is, we have to give them the message. If they want to hear, that's very nice. If they don't want to hear, present in such a way so that they are induced to hear. That's what Prabhupada says, induce them to hear. Prabhupada uses this word, induce them, and not just make them hear. Prabhupada says, but one should induce others to read and hear about them. What does it induce word means? Induce means that they don't want to hear, but you have to make them hear. Somehow by your presentations, by your talk, by making it interesting, but without changing the message. That's why the word induce is there. Otherwise, if you change the message, they will want to hear. Then Prabhupada would have written that you make them hear and read. But no. So, Mahan Mahatmaya Suchakam, that's Asmin, Mahan Mahatmaya. So, Baitriya says, yes, Vidur, I have told you this greatness of Prithu, his love for God, that was his greatness. And his selflessness in working for the benefit of everybody, that was his greatness. And that greatness of his, which was in his heart, that led him to do so many great work, which common people could see. That was a secret which he had. Asmin. So Maitreya says, anybody who has faith in this character of Prithu Maharaj, Asmin, anybody who has faith in this aspect of Prithu Maharaj, anybody who understands, who hears and understands this, his love for God and his absolute selflessness in the service of God, that is by the way love, and his whole life dedicated for the benefit of God and people. If anybody has faith in this, asmin kritam ati martayam, and faith in his uncommon activities, ati martayam. Ati martayam means which are beyond the scope of people who die, mortals like us. We can't do such kind of activities. But anybody who has faith, anybody who tries to follow the footsteps of Lord Prithu, that's the whole point. Ati martayam, who tries to follow the footsteps of Prithu, he might not be able to do such kind of uncommon activities externally, but he can catch the spirit behind those uncommon activities, which led him to do uncommon activities, which led him to do supra mortal activities, which are beyond mortal people. That spirit, if you can catch, then Parthavim Gatim Apnuat. Then wherever he went, Parthavim, it is said Prithu Maharaj went to Vaikuntha Lok, back to Bharat. Gatim Apnuat, you can also go back there. That's all. So the whole trick is not to just read and hear and make others hear. That's not the point, but to catch the spirit with which Prithu was working, and to apply the same spirit in the process given by God to us, Lord Chaitanya has given Sankirtan process. And in that process, we can apply this spirit of Prithu, of working for the benefit of God and for the people, and then perfect our lives. You see, the whole point is, scriptures are full of so many examples of so many rishis and so many demigods and so many munis, so many yogis, so many devotees. Scriptures are full and they are vast, but the whole point is to become sargrahi, to catch the essence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes an article and he says, see, there are so many religions all around the world, and different people worship different deities, different gods, or they worship God in different forms, not different gods, but God in different forms. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, okay, even if we cannot understand what they are doing, which form they are worshipping, we offer respects to them because we can't understand everything. But what we do is we take the spirit from them and apply in our process. So, for example, Islam, they worship Allah. They worship God as Allah. But the whole point is we can take the spirit from them. Okay, we pay obeisances to their Allah, to Allah because He's God. We pay obeisances to their mosque and their process. But we can take the spirit from them. Spirit is the same everywhere. So it is almost like Achintya Bheda Ved. It is one and different. There are different processes, but of course, so here I'm talking about theistic religions. I'm not talking about atheistic religions. There are wrong religions, there are wrong philosophies, but I'm talking about right philosophies and right religion. So there are different processes, but the principle is one, underlying. And that principle is spirit, and that is what Sargrahi is doing. So from Islam, what we can learn? Well, they are very dedicated to their prayers. They pray five times. Wherever they are, their airport, I've seen their airport, they're on the footpath, they just spread the bed sheet and or the cloth and pray. They don't worry about anybody. That's Srimad Bhagavatam, spirit of Bhagavatam, Loka Bhaiye. Bhagavatam says, Eva Amrita Svapriya Nama Kirtya Jata Anuraga Rutaccha Chittai Hasati Rauti Raudati Unmadvat Gayati Loka Bhaiye. A devotee doesn't care about people. Loka Bhaiye. He's unconcerned and he does his job, he does his service, and they do. That's a good spirit. You can learn that. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada took the spirit of determination from materialists. Srila Prabhupada was in New York and there was one girl who was wearing miniskirt in extreme winters, in snowfall. Prabhupada says she's so determined to show her skin. Similarly, we should be determined to serve Krishna. See? So, that is Sargrahi. So, Bhagavatam has so many stories and we can read and hear. But if we become Sargrahi, that's the whole point. Then things are going to work. Saram, Saram, Udahirtam, Bhagavatam says. It's not that, of course, if we simply read and hear and we don't understand the spirit, that's one thing. Will it help us or not? Of course, it is going to help you, but not much. We simply keep on reading and don't understand the spirit. Because then it will be stories and entertainment. And that's why you need Bhagavat to explain. So that's why you need Bhagavat to explain Bhagavat. So that's what is Prithu Maharaj's specialty. In fact, the next verse is also going to talk about that. You can read about that. The next verse says, Sacha Nipunam Labhate. There are indications of this, of his Mahatmaya. Prithu Maharaj achieved glorious activities. He did extraordinary activities. Of course, Prahlad also did, and there are many kings who did extraordinary activities. But what's so extraordinary in all these people? What's so extraordinary, which is common in all these people? The extraordinary thing is their love for God, their dedication for God, their whole attitude to work for the benefit of Krishna and others and be absolutely selfless. Absolutely selfless, that is their glories. That is the glory of all the devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we can catch that spirit, then we can become successful in our Sankirtan movement. We can become successful in chanting. That's the little secret or little dirty, let's say dirty, little dirty secret. Let us put it like that in American language. Dirty in a good sense, not in a bad sense. In a good connotation. But that's what is difficult to catch. Because generally we are lost. We become lost in the process. We become lost in stories. We become lost in entertainment. We means we all are, including me. We become lost in our daily lives, in our bodies. And to maintain this spirit, that's the technique, that's the secret. That's what is, we need determination. To maintain this spirit, I am servant of God, I have to work for His benefit or not my benefit. That Nishkam Bhavna, that is required. If you can practice that, Abhyasena tu kaunteya, Vairagena cha duskritam, Krishna says, you practice Abhyas, how Vairagya, by renunciation. If you want to renounce something, Krishna says, don't renounce objects. Renounce your tendency. Renounce your selfishness. That's the meaning of Vairagya there. Because 18th chapter, Bhagavad Gita discusses about Vairagya and Tyag. Tyag and Sannyas. Krishna recommends Tyag. He doesn't say Sannyas. He doesn't say renounce objects and people. That's crazy. And even if you renounce people and objects, then you are, then of course your mind is not renounced and you will land up in more problems. Of course, that's one thing you can fall down. Another thing is, just by renouncing objects, you can't renounce the spirit of sense enjoyment and selfishness. So, if you renounce this spirit of selfishness, that's what is required. How? By abhyas. What abhyas? Abhyas working for the benefit of God and others. By that abhyas, you can renounce the tendency to work for your own benefit. When that's done, you are going back to spiritual world. That's all. Because Krishna doesn't allow people to come to spiritual world who have selfishness, who work for themselves. He doesn't allow them. People who work for themselves, they are settled in this material world. People who work for God and think of God and serve God, they are in spiritual world. That's the difference. That's all. That's all. In spiritual world, everybody doesn't chant Hare Krishna, by the way. Spiritual world has Vaikuntha also. Saket, Dwarka. Many Vaikuntha planets where people are chanting, where there are Narayan forms, different types of Narayan form. People are chanting Narayana name, Vasudev, Anirudh, Sankarshan. People are glorifying them. They're not chanting just Hare Krishna. So what they're doing there? Well, they're not chanting Hare Krishna. What they're doing there? Well, the whole point is, people are there. Who are there? Were chanting Hare Krishna? No. Who? People who have become pure, who have got this spirit of working for the benefit of God and not for their own benefit, who are free of selfishness, who have not got nirmalam. Bhagavatam says nirmalam. That first, second verse. Nirmalam, who have no mal, who have no contamination of whatsoever, whose heart is free of personal sense gratification, personal benefit, personal agendas, personal plans, whose heart is free of me and mine, of I, the importance of I, that heart is free of that, the importance of I, whose heart is free of the importance of one's own existence. A devotee, I mean to say, what to talk about enjoying this material world? A devotee is not even interested in enjoying his own existence. A devotee is not even interested to exist. He doesn't struggle to exist. Struggle for existence, which is the basis of this world. This whole evolution theory is based on that. That spark everybody has, everybody wants to exist and not die. But devotee goes even beyond that. He doesn't have the desire, he doesn't even enjoy, doesn't even have the desire to exist. That extent, he has no desire. He doesn't have even desire for bhava iha. And that's called bhava iha. Bhava iha. Oh, my dear devotee, whether you want to exist, you want to live, I don't have even desire to live. I'm happy to die if you want, my dear Lord Krishna. That kind of people will go to spiritual world. And I don't know if all of you who are listening, where you are in devotional standard, but as far as I am concerned, it's very difficult to get this thing out. It's very difficult to get out of the trap. And the whole trap is, we are trapped within ourselves. I have trapped myself. That is Maya. You see, Maya is very tricky. Maya has trapped you within yourself. We are trapped within our own I. And when we get freed of the trap, I mean to say, I have trapped myself in my own I. And that's what that devotee said, Kanakdas, when I may go. So that's a trap of this material world. It's not just locks and chains. It is I, the sense of I am important. That is the trap. That is a trap there. I am important. The importance to I, that is the trap. The importance to I to such an extent that I want to live. That, you see, that's the whole point. The greatest importance to anybody we can give is his life. If somebody's trapped somewhere and you say to him, I want to shoot you, I'll shoot you. So he will say, take everything but spare my life, because life is the most important to him. So the importance to I is manifested in the desire to live. And the devotee is above that. That's why all the devotees pray, Krishna, you, whether I die or I live, Mama Janmani Janmaneshwari, I go to hell or anywhere, it doesn't matter. What matters is whether I'm working for your benefit, whether you are happy or not. That's the whole idea. So that's how do we get out of our own traps? How do we get out of this trap which we have created for ourselves? It's so difficult. Prithu and all these kings, they got above that. And that's what that's the whole lecture I was bringing this point of selfishness. This selfishness is manifested, it manifests, it's in form of sense gratification, which is called as kam eha. Eha means desire. The desire to sense gratify. Or at subtle levels, it is manifested in form of the desire to live, to exist, which is called bhava iha. Desire to exist. And that, if we are freed of it, we can become perfect. Then we can go to spiritual world. That's all. That's a simple trick. Whoever does that, you can chant Hare Krishna, you can chant Om Namah Vasudeva, you can chant Om Namah Narayana Namah. In different ages, there were different mantras. Of course, this age, we have to chant Hare Krishna, don't change the mantra. But what God is looking for? God is looking for this particular dirty secret. Whether you have this secret, whether you have developed this spirit, which Prithu developed. And that's that secret, that greatness of his, enabled him to achieve so many great works. That's why he was, because he had greatness in his heart. He was absolutely not interested in himself. That's why he was fearless. He doesn't even care whether he exists or not. That's why he was fearless, absolute selflessness. And because he was fearless, he could do so many great activities. So then we can go back to spiritual world. These kind of people Krishna likes. And we want to become like that. Of course it's difficult, but we want to become like that. We pray to Krishna, Krishna, please make us like these devotees. And take us back to your spiritual world. That's what our desire is. Please guide us. Please help us so that we don't fall down. We don't do faults. We are not confused. It's so dangerous word. Prahapayan loka bhayam sunena sutejasa grasta samasta tejasa. People in Jambudvip, they are praying to Lord Narasimha. Please protect us in this fearful word. Why this word is so fearful? What's so fearful in this word? The point of this word is, this word will make you, will actually pull you in selfishness. It is designed to make you selfish. It is designed to trap you within yourself. That's what this whole big word is made, and that's what is so fearful, because if we have that spirit of selfishness, we are not going back to God. Impossible. So let us be inspired by Lord Prithu, his activities, his greatness. Try to follow in this life, this small life, and at least sincerely try whatever we can. And then leave it up to God, no problem. He's going to help us. Provided we are sincerely trying for the right thing, we understand the thing, we are trying for that. And if you're doing that, no matter you fail, but you practice, 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 Krishna will perfect your practice. And will take you back to spiritual world, like Prithu Maharaj went back. That's it. That's the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody wants to ask anything? I'm done here. I have little time. If anybody wants to ask any question, because I have another class to do. So I have some time. If anybody wants to ask something, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class. Hare Krishna, if anybody having any questions, please ask Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Yeah, as always, I so enjoyed your class. I do have a couple questions. I think I missed when you probably broke down the words sarva grahi, right? Sarva,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
sarva, sarva, yeah. Sarva means all, right? And then
No. Sar means essence.
Oh, okay. Sar grahi, not sarva, right?
No, not sarva. Sar means essence. Grahi means to grasp essence. Sar. S-A-R.
Yeah, essence. Okay, so to grasp the essence. So when you were repeatedly using this term during your talk, grasping the essence meant having the mood of selflessness toward others and Krishna. Is that the idea?
Yeah. That's the crux of whole Bhagavatam, whole Gita, whole Vedas. That's what we have to do.
So that's what is meant by sagrahi. That is what is meant by sagrahi.
Yeah. That's what is meant by sagrahi, and that's what I explained in the end. That trap of I and mine. That's what Prahlad Maharaj says, and that's what is the greatness of all these devotees. They are liberated from themselves. We are conditioned. We have conditioned ourselves, and we have trapped ourselves. But they are liberated from their own being. That's what is liberation. That is the essence. But even to grasp, even to work your head around that, it needs a little kind. I mean to say, it needs a little foundation of knowledge, like to get free of our own being. Of this conditioned being, it needs time, isn't it? It needs a lot of maturity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why they are called as saragrahi.
Yeah, well, a person to be called saragrahi means that they have essentially become liberated from the sense of selfishness.
Yeah, right. Perfectly. Mm-hmm. Perfectly.
Okay. Then also, in a little bit in connection to this concept, you know, I'm wondering if you can kind of explain how, you know, what I have trouble with is becoming attracted to the concept of unconditional love. And the reason why I have trouble with this concept is because, you know, if you have unconditional love, whether it be for Krishna or his parts and parcels, it means that you will have the desire to please them even if you feel mistreated by them. Right? So your love is not even conditional on how well they are treating you. And so for me, I don't actually have attraction for, you know, I don't see the attraction in pleasing somebody who even might mistreat me. So how, you know, but we're supposed to be aspiring for this mood. So how do
I understand your point. You see the point. You're right. Somebody cheats you, you don't really are attracted to him. You are actually repulsed,
yes.
Isn't it? But the whole point is when God cheats you, when God cheats us, or when it seems he's cheating us, or he really cheats you, to actually test you. Then a devotee, because he has knowledge, because he's not just sentimental. Now that's the idea. A sentimental person, he will get repulsed because he will not understand what's happening. So because his whole thing is based on sentiment and that. But here God is teaching us, and we understand through the knowledge which we have understood from Vedanta, with Bhagavatam and scriptures and whatever, we understand that his cheating is also sweet. And his teaching is, the cheating is not just sweet, but it is truth. It is not cheating, it is eternal truth. And it's not just eternal truth, it is beneficial in the long
run. What do you mean it's truth? What do you mean it's truth?
It's truth means, because generally when people cheat, we say that either he's lying or he's deceiving, isn't it? That's cheating.
Yeah.
That's cheating. So, but when Krishna cheats, it's not a lie. He's cheating on the basis of a principle which is eternally true, which is not false principle. He has not concocted something and then he's cheating. He's in other words doing something on the basis of some eternal law, and that law, on the basis of law which he's trying to do something, he's trying to convey a message to us, he's trying to convey a truth to us by his own plan, so that we understand that subtle truth which he's trying to convey to us somehow or the other. So that's what I mean. And a devotee understands, okay, fine, Krishna is acting like that, but he wants to convey a truth to me which I cannot grasp, and it is for beneficial for me, for everybody. So that's why with the eyes of knowledge when you see, then you will get attracted. And that is why it is very important to get knowledge base, because people who are sentimental, they eventually get disappointed and they eventually fall away because something happens in their life and Krishna has some plans and he can't understand what's happening, and he thinks, why Krishna is doing like that to me? And then he doesn't get attracted to him, and then things go just like you see Pandavas. I mean, to say what Krishna did with them, it is horrible. I mean, to say Draupadi, she was disrobed. Of course, he helped her afterwards, but then Pandavas had to go for 13 years for Vanvas, and they were tried, and it was on their life so many times. Their life was in danger, but they could understand by the eyes of knowledge that yes, whatever Krishna is doing with us, it's for benefit for the entire human society, and of course for benefit of our own souls. So that's why they were attracted to him. So eyes of knowledge are required, otherwise their attraction will come down.
Yeah, okay, so seeing our adversities in a sentimental way means that we're seeing it, but not we're not understanding.
Yeah, right. We are seeing it, but we are not understanding why Krishna is doing like that.
Yeah, okay, so it means to if you're being sentimental, it means that you're not recognizing that Krishna has some beneficial purpose behind it.
Right. Yeah, so
you're just seeing it how it affects you emotionally.
Right. Perfectly. So in other words, Bhakti Santa used to say that a sentimental person just sees the first move of the chess. In the game chess, he sees the first move. But a mature person sees the next
beyond
four or five moves. Yeah, beyond those, what moves are going to happen, and the game is going to change altogether.
Is Bhakti Siddhanta, you said like that?
Yeah. Bhakti Siddhanta said this.
Oh, that's really nice. Really nice. Okay, Prabhu. But then, okay, so we can love Krishna unconditionally if we have some knowledge. We have this chess playing, you know, vision. But how about each other living entities? How to, you know, because when we get cheated or hurt by other people, you know, they don't have they don't necessarily have our best interest at heart.
No, people who cheat you, we don't want to talk to them. Of course, we don't want to talk. If we can help them,
we're supposed to love them unconditionally. So how to do that with those people?
No, unconditional love is only for God. It's not for people. It's not for people. The scriptures never say for people. Scripture says... What I'm saying, scripture says, yes, you should help people to love God unconditionally. Help them to love God unconditionally. Not that we have to love them unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so therefore... Is that then? I guess that's therefore our unconditional love for them, that we try to help them love God.
Yeah, right. You try to help them love God, and if they don't want to love God, if they don't want to hear, they want to listen, okay, then that's your life. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
We can just pray for them. Then you have to suffer, and then you will learn in next life. That's all what we can do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Prabhu, that's beautiful. One last thing I had is when you said that in Vaikuntha, you know, the people are not chanting there, but I think you were trying to say that they're not chanting for the sake of their purification because they're already pure. But actually, aren't everyone? Isn't everyone in Vaikuntha or Goloka, isn't everyone chanting Hare Krishna? I mean, you know, maybe not the way we're doing for the sake of, you know, like doing japa, you know, but not doing.
Well, Hare Krishna mantra is personal mantra of Radharani. It is coming from Golok, so they sing Hare Krishna in Golok, but not in Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, they might be singing Hare Krishna, but in Vaikuntha, generally, they chant Vedic hymns, and suktas and so in different Vaikunthas they have different kind of mantras for praising Anirudh, Sankarshan, Narayan. In Golok they chant Hare Krishna sometimes, but not always, of course. Of course they don't chant Hare Krishna, they sing Hare Krishna, but not all throughout the spiritual world. It doesn't happen like that. They might be singing off and on, but they have different deities all together in different Vaikuntha planets, and they glorify them accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it happens. So that's the difference. The process of worship may be different in different Vaikuntha planets, but the spirit is the same. They all are liberated from their own being, from their sense of importance to I. They are all liberated. Their only thing important is Krishna. God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a tangent, but in Goloka, I mean, what I've heard in the past is that, you know, that vibration is there. I think someone also gave the story that, you know, even as either Srila Prabhupada or one of his godbrothers, you know, the doctor put a stethoscope to his chest, and even though they couldn't see their mouth.
Yeah.
So in that sense, my understanding was that the chanting is continuous, but maybe not just in the same form.
Well, I think, make things simple, you know. I don't think so we should make things complicated. We speak here, they speak there, and the whole thing is, this material world is a reflection of, perverted reflection of spiritual world. Whatever is happening here, it's happening there. What is happening there is here. Thus, the thing is, spirit is changed. That's all.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
you
so much for that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for hearing you. Long time.
Okay, Lalitangi Mataji, yeah, for a long time, yeah, you're right.
Thank you. So, I have one question, but not related to the class, from Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. Do you have time now? Is it okay?
Yeah, you can ask me just sometime, yeah. No problem.
Okay, so this is Preeti Vilasini Mataji's question. We were discussing the seventh chapter, and then in text text 8 in Rasoham Apsu Kaunteya. So he says, Paurusham Rishu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. And then in text 10, Bijammam Sarva Bhutanam. So he says, O son of Pritha, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent and the prowess of all powerful men. So her question was, already he said in the 8th chapter that he is ability in man. And this is like kind of, again, repeating the same. It looks like that apparently because he says again the intelligence of the intelligent and the prowess of all powerful man, which is like which can be summarized as ability in man. Can you?
Many times Baldev Vidya Bhushan, Ramanuja, they say Krishna is repeating many times also. Just to give emphasis, it was generally repetition is a fault. But repetition is not a fault when that's important. So if somebody is repeating, God is repeating, that means that point is important and we have to keep in mind. So the whole point is Krishna is the ability in man. That's a very important point, because if we forget that, then we can become egoistic. Or we can start praising others and not praise God for them being so great, and we can be lost in their glories and not see who is behind them. So just like people praise Alexander or so many great people, but they forgot that the ability is coming from God. The person who is to be praised is God. Person who is to be praised is Ram and not Hanuman. If you really look from a different, from a proper angle of, from proper point. Shivji told Parvati, Hanuman is not to be praised, Ram is to be praised, because the ability in Hanuman is due to Ram. So that's the point. So Krishna wants to emphasize on this point and then also help us look understand, okay, by ability what I mean, by intelligence and prowess, because these two things are the thing which people are proud of, isn't it? Their own intelligence and their own power. That's the two things which people are proud of. This power includes the power of strength and the power of money and the power of fame. This power, this teja includes that. The word is tejas, isn't it? In Sanskrit?
Yeah.
So tej of... this tejas includes money, fame, and strength. So this is what makes us egoistic. So Krishna says, okay, understand this. I told you I am the ability man, but now I'm telling you in more details. These two things, take care of it. Whenever you see anybody most intelligent and anybody most powerful, by name, fame, and money, or strength, just remember, I am to be glorified. By seeing them, remember me. And don't get lost in them. So, yeah, it's repetition. But it's repetition to help us understand that this is the most important point. I mean, so in some books, important points are put in a box, isn't it, generally? In some textbooks, either they put in box or there's a particular hand made or star made. So in Sanskrit, if you want to make something important, repeat it. And that means the author wants to say, okay, you can forget other things, but don't forget this point. That's the point there.
Yeah, Prabhuji, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Actually, wait. Suladevamaji, you wanted to ask something or what?
Yes, Prabhuji, but I think Sureshwar Prabhu also wants to ask something, so maybe...
No problem, you can continue, and then Sureshwar can ask, because you were asking, I could realize that.
So, Prabhuji, One more question is that with regard to class. So you were saying that how, you know, being selfless is the root of all good qualities. And that's true. And even we weren't even seeing that till now. And now when we analyze on based of that, even though we came to the spiritual life, like seemingly we are doing devotional service, we can see that, you know, we are so selfish even in that it's my service. It's so deep rooted. It's so it's so ingrained in us to see.
So that's what I told in the end. I mean to say, you see, selfishness is so ingrained in us that this, because of selfishness, we want to live. The whole desire to exist and live is selfish desire, and that, I mean to say, how do you get rid of that? We can even dream to get rid of other selfishness, but what to do of this? It's in our being. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, right.
We are so like that.
Bhagavatam, yeah. Vritrasura and so many others, so they were like so selfless, like.
Yeah, you're right.
Is it something that we, we start off now, at least we have to start in scratches. So what is the practical thing that the baby step, the step one that we can do?
Step one we can do is, that's why all Vaishnav Sampradayas, they say, at least grossly, whatever all Vaishnav Sampradayas emphasize on Vaishnav Seva, isn't it? All of them, without a doubt. Because that's the first external step we can take. Always think of benefit of devotees. Don't think of yourself. Think of how devotees can be helped. I mean to say, just as we think of ourselves, we have to think of others, of other devotees, as if they are you. That's the first, at least external. And internal is, internal, that's external step. And of course, that's for Vaishnavas. And then, of course, Prabhupada says preaching, because preaching is benefiting God. So that's two external steps. But internal step is, Krishna says, keep a check on your desires. And I'll just tell you a small story there now here. In Islam, this Prophet Muhammad, he had one of his best servants, Ali, isn't it? So one of his best and right hand was Ali. So we know that Prophet Muhammad, he was at continuous war. So he was living in Medina, but people who were actually ruling in Makkah, who had actually captured Makkah, they were actually continuously having war with Prophet. So this Ali, so they were in the war, and so Ali was fighting with one person, and what happened was, he was about to kill that person, Ali. Ali was about to kill that person. He took his sword, threw away his sword. He was about to kill his head. But that person said, that you rascal, you want to kill me? So kill me now. Kill me. And then Ali spared his life. Ali didn't kill him. Said, go get lost. And that person was very surprised. Why didn't he kill him? So then the war was over, and so in the evening they met. So he asked Ali, why didn't you kill me? So Ali said, you see the point, I was about to kill you, but then suddenly you told me these bad words, you rascal, you kill me, and this and that, and I became really angry. And when I became angry, then I was about to kill you, but then I thought, now I am not killing for God's sake. I am killing for my sake. I am killing this man because he has made me angry. And it is not just for God's sake. It is mixed with my sake, because I am hurt. So Ali said, that's why I didn't kill you, because it was not 100% for God's sake. You see the point there? So this is the point. We have to practice. We have to keep a check on our desires, whether it is tainted with selfishness or not. At least start in simple, simple things. Just remember this example. And whenever we are doing, just see what's happening. Or a simple example I'll give you. So one devotee, he asked me to take some milk in the morning today. So I was about to go. So I went and took the milk, and I took one spoon. This a half cup of milk. But then that devotee said, okay. So Prabhuji, you can take milk because this is so nice, and we have specially boiled it, and this is pure cow's milk today because we didn't add water. So I went and I took, but then I came and I thought, what did I do? Because first time I took, that was for the service of God, because that was there, and it's a routine we take generally. The second time I took, it was for my own selfishness. I was really allured by the fact that it is pure cow's milk without water today. So it was a selfish act. First was for God's sake, for at least service, maintaining a body, but the second was for selfish act. So I took, but I felt trapped to that. But later I thought about that. So, but at least I thought about that. So by regular practice, we'll be able to understand in small things whether it's selfishness or for God's sake. So we can do externally and internally. We can start like that. If we can't do internally, at least externally we can serve. We can think for the benefit of Krishna and his devotees. We can do Vaishnava Seva. We can think of devotees as if you're thinking of yourself. You can think of God as if you're thinking of yourself, and then do things as if this is you. This is you. And then you do. So then things can be worked out. That's all. That's a baby. I mean to say, that's not a baby step. That's a real step. But I don't think so there's any real baby step in spirituality. I don't know. This is what it begins with. Hare Krishna. Yeah, you're there? You're online or what?
Yeah, amazing, Prabhuji. I don't know what to say. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Suresh, no. Prabhuji, have online, you can please ask questions.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Prabhuji, two questions, Prabhu. Prabhuji, sometimes when we see the pastimes, it's explicitly mentioned, you know, the benefit of the pastime and why we have to do repeatedly, right? In some pastimes, it is not mentioned, Prabhu. So, that means that, you know, these pastimes we have to emphasize and other pastimes we don't need to? Is that the understanding, or what is understanding, Prabhu, here?
No. Some pastimes are like this, some pastimes are not. Pastimes which they said you have to repeat again and again, like Prahlad and Prithu, they are more important. Why? Because we'll be able to grasp the essence faster in these pastimes. In other pastimes, they might be little not explicit, and they might be little obstruse and not very clear to our understanding. But if we read these pastimes, it's just simple to understand, simple to grasp the essence. So that's why it is said we can repeat and read. We can read those also, but these are easy to grasp the essence. That's why.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. One more question. Prabhuji, like you emphasize the word induce, right? It's very nice, Prabhu. Prabhuji, depending on the nature of devotees, some are very introvert. Like some don't like to, you know, go. They would like to do, you know, whatever small service is given to them nicely. They may not preach Prabhu explicitly, but they're doing, you know, their service. So what does that mean, Prabhu, in that sense?
No problem. If their nature doesn't allow, they can either some devotees can preach. If other devotees cannot preach, they can help others who are preaching. So it's all the same. I mean to say, if you're helping in preaching mission, you are preaching. Because everybody doesn't have nature like that. Like that. So that concept should be clear. What they are doing, the small services they are doing, is to help to preach, is to help participate in preaching mission, is to help others to get Krishna consciousness. If that's clear to them, then their whole activity becomes preaching. That's all.
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. After a long time, thank you, Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, can I just follow up on your answer there? I just want to confirm really quickly, I just want to confirm that, you know, those who are helping other people to preach, even though they're not doing the preaching directly, Krishna does not see that in any way less than the person who
no,
is...
No. If the whole point is, if they are not doing and if they cannot do, then that's okay. But if they're not doing and if they can do, then that's not okay.
Uh-huh. Even if they are helping those who are doing.
Yeah. So, that's what I'm saying. If they are helping preachers by the small service and they cannot preach due to whatever circumstance or their own nature, that's okay. But if they're helping preachers and if they can preach and if they're not doing that themselves, mm-hmm. then that's a problem.
Okay.
And then they're lazy. Okay. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jai. So, I'll just end up here now. Mataji, Hare Krishna. Who is the coordinator
so much
here?
For such a beautiful class and very nice Krishna association. If there are no more questions, we would like to end the call here by offering our blessings to Prabhuji.
Yes.
And the Hare
Krishna.
Pitanam Pavani Pyo Vaishnavi Pyo Namo Namana Sakoti Vaishnavi Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Great Krishwananda Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again for the
very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.